Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good evening, everyone. I just want to welcome you to the newest edition of Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel and TC and Carl. And I guess tonight I should probably start by telling everybody that it is our beginning of hashtag spooky season. And I don't care if you love it or hate it, we've got some great music for you guys tonight. So first, I need to start by, of course, as always, welcoming my consummate co-host, partner in crime, man of the hour, Carl Kafer. You want to say hello to everybody, Carl?
Greetings and salutations, everyone. I always make an entrance.
And from there, we also need to welcome our other favorite, I think, permanent guest host, T.C. Clark. And you feel like saying, hey, T.C.?
Well, hey, T.C. Everybody.
Fucking joke right, stealer. I love you for it.
All right. Excited for tonight.
Well, I know that you were telling us earlier that spooky season is not your favorite, and I can understand your reasons why, but could you not agree that we've got some really great, seriously spooky music for this evening?
Well, the cool thing about it is I got right in the spirit, you know, because you know how I like to dig deep, and boy, I dug deep and found some great spooky songs, so... I am all about this.
Well,
nice.
I would love to hear yours first, but I think that for this evening, which tonight is going to be our more serious, scary music, we're not doing any classical tonight, so don't you worry, guys. We're not doing any of the novelty stuff. Tonight is actually just a really, like, put us in the mood, scary, freaky songs. And I think Carl actually wants to start this one out for us tonight. So we're gonna switch up the rotation a little bit. And Carl, do you want to tell us about your first selection?
Absolutely. My brother is 7 years older than I am, and I stole this album from him. And I love this song, and I think this song is probably... along with one of your songs, the setting for tonight absolutely nails it. And the song, and this one's dedicated to you, TC, Death Walks Behind You by Atomic Rooster. I will say that the person behind Atomic Rooster is Vincent Crane, and he makes another appearance in my list, but that's later. But here is Death Walks Behind You by Atomic Rooster.
Thank you.
There you go. What do you think?
All right. Carl, you know, Rachel, Carl and I are the same age. We graduated together. And we both had an advantage in music. Carl said he stole that album from his brother, 7 years older than him. I had a brother 6 years older than me. So we had to jump on a lot of music, you know, like when we were in junior high. We're listening to stuff our brothers were listening to, you know, long before anybody else did. And I remember my brother had that album, Atomic Rooster. He had that album too. So,
and see,
way to take me back to my childhood, Carl.
And see, I'm an only child.
I freaking love that song. Go ahead, Rach.
No, that's it. Like, I'm an only child, so I didn't have anybody to steal music from except for my parents. So some of the music that I stole from people was really just some of the weirdest shit I could find, because obviously I wasn't going to, you know, take my mom and dad's records, although I now own a lot of those. So the one that I personally would have started out with just to kind of set spooky season off is not one of my favorite songs, but it's really important as far as cinematic musical history and as far as really setting the nature for the goth scene in the late 70s, early 80s and stuff. And I know you're going to hate me for this one, Carl, but I think since we kind of played the slow, rhythmic, almost discordant music, that we're going to have to start the next one with Bela Lugosi's Dead by Bauhaus.
I think I already have it up, so not a problem.
You knew where I was going there, didn't you, buddy?
I did. Here we go. Bela Lugosi's Dead. And there you go. Bela Lugosi is dead.
What year is that?
I think it was like 1981. I don't know. They were playing it in the beginning of The Hunger. That was the band that was playing the song, and that was the song that was playing in the beginning of The Hunger. Bauhaus is a lot older than most people give them credit for.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course,
absolutely.
that is their most famous song. But I really – that one kind of puts me in the right mood for Spooky Season.
I wonder if they – later re-released it with a video on when MTV came around. That sounds like the kind of song that you'd want to put a video to. So.
They did. The video is really boring, and the song is actually like 11 or 12 minutes long, and it's a lot more discordant, weird bullshit, but just the main part of it, that's what gets me going for Halloween.
Well, that was cool. I liked it. I haven't heard Bauhaus and since whenever, 81 or whatever, you know, because they kind of just disappeared. They had some potential in that time, but then they just kind of disappeared, so I don't know. But
now you
got to
play as something, buddy.
Well, you know, I how I like to dig back in the roots of rock, and I'm actually the first four songs of mine are kind of tied in, and they're chronological, too. And I'm starting off with Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And he's considered the pioneer of shock rock and was an influence on my next selection, who will be Alice Cooper, and who in turn influenced my third and fourth selections tonight. So remember, now this is the 50s when rock and roll first came out and people were looking at it as evil and, you know, the church people were going nuts about this. Along comes Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And this guy, remember, think about this. This is in the 50s. His live shows, he would emerge from a coffin. He'd sing into a skull-shaped microphone and set off smoke bombs. This is in the 50s on stage. So you can imagine that. This song that we're going to hear tonight was actually the B-side of his classic 1956 hit that everybody knows, I Put a Spell on You, you know, which was covered by countless people, including most notably Creedence Clearwater Revival. The song we're going to hear by Screamin' Jay Hawkins is called Little Demon. Carl?
Oh, without a doubt. You stole this one from me, and that's more than okay. I love this tune.
Oh, really? Did you pick that one out, too? Cool.
Yeah, but I was going to do it next week.
In the valley on the foggy hill rock stood a crazy little demon blowing his top. Fire in his eyes and smoke from his head. You gotta be real fool to hear the words he said. He did that. For the one he loves, so he has death on his mind, cause my demon let him go. He wanna run through the world till he understand his pain. Somebody help him get my demon home again. He did Hey! night, but in afternoon, he made leap year jump over the moon. Took the 4th of July, he put in May. He took this morning, but back yesterday, he did a
God, I love him. I adore that man.
Yeah, like I said, he's a grandfather. He's the shock rock guy. You know, he brought and a lot of those 50s novelty songs that we talked about, you know, the gold mine of the 50s and 60s novelties, you know, a lot of it happened because of Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Oh, yeah. So what did you think of that, Rachel? Right? Oh, well, she'll come back.
Oh, no, here I am. I'm here. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm on
the
headphones tonight.
Side of the house.
So I know I liked that one, and I know that one of us was saying that maybe we should have saved that one for next week, which is going to be our novelty spooky song show. But I really feel like that one works for me.
Yeah, if you read the lyrics,
really does.
I mean, it gets into some real demon shit in the lyrics. So that's why I chose it. So there you have it. Plus, it set the tone for the rest of my songs. So, you know, as an influence
awesome.
To the rest of the ones I have coming up.
Well, I feel like a lot of my songs for the evening have also, they're kind of in the same wheelhouse of instrumental weirdness, but I think next up we have Carl. So what's Carl going to bring to the table right now?
Well, I think I'm going to be the first one to preach a little bit of swamp rock. And for me, swamp rock and Halloween music go hand in hand. And this is a song I love. And I know that TC knows where I'm going on this. I know you know. But
and
this
you know
is
I
a
got,
song that...
You know, I got a swamp rock song at the end. So.
Actually, we all have swamp rock. So does...
Beautiful.
Yeah, we do. But this one is a song that was originally done and written by Bobby Bear, but this is the version as far as I'm concerned. I almost picked the Dr. John, which is a different song, Marie LaBeau. But that is too long. But this one is perfect. And so go ahead. I'm sorry, PC, go ahead.
No, I wasn't talking. I don't know what that was.
Oh, okay. So here we go. Marie LaBeau by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
You ain't going to give me your shit, are you, man?
Louisiana, where the black tree grow, live a voodoo lady named Marie LaBeau. She got a black cat tooth and a mojo bone, and anyone who wouldn't leave her alone, she goes.
Another man done gone.
She live in a swamp in a hollow log with a one-eyed snake, a three-legged dog. Got a dim bony body and a spanky head. She never see you mess around. There she go.
Another man done gone.
Lovely witch, why don't you give me a little charm, gonna make me rich. He said, now give me $1 million, I'm gonna tell you what I'll do. This very night I'm gonna marry you. Be
another man done gone.
said goodbye, Marie. You're too damn ugly for a man like me.
So Marie started crying, her frame started shaking, her body started turning, she started quaking. She said, another man done gone, yeah.
So if you ever get down where the black trees grow and meet a voodoo lady named Marie LeBeau,
you better look out.
And if she ever asks you to make her your wife, man, you better stay with her for the rest of your life. A little thing.
Awesome fucking song.
You know, one thing I love about Dr. Hook is how they intensify a song by having three or four different people singing different lines of it, you know. Like I heard Joel.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I got a cool, you know, I mentioned before that I found in Jamestown, New York, in Kmart, a $5 Dr. Hook Live from Germany DVD one time. And the first song on it is Sylvia's Mother. And there Dennis LeCorriere is singing along, you know, Sylvia's Mother, the beautiful love song. And Ray Sawyer comes over and passes him on his shoulder. He goes, look, man, we've cried enough. And they busted into that song. It's phenomenal. You know, it's just,
yeah.
It's a great, great, great pick, Carl. Great pick. And it's amazing.
That was
Matt,
a good one.
You mentioned Bobby Bear. How many songs have Bobby Bear written, you know, for everybody?
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
What do you think, Rachel?
I like that one. And honestly, even though I know Bela Lugosi's Dead was not Carl's favorite, it still feels like musically and or thematically that song kind of fit in with what you guys have picked so far.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm going to go.
That's the beauty of this. We all have a little bit different taste, you know, but we all know each other's taste where it all kind of blends in and incorporates with each other. So it's all good.
I think so, too. And I think
that's,
for my next
like
pick, I'm
like
going to go similarly old school. No, it's not the oldest one that I have, and I'm going to play something that maybe you guys have heard later. But for what we've heard currently, I really kind of want to go for Carl's favorite when he put these in for me.
Yes.
And this is
this
is a band. This is a band that was so important to me and has done some of the best covers I've ever heard in my life. And I don't even need to mention that they were kind of metal covers, but they covered Seals and Croft. They covered Hendrix. They covered everybody. But this is an original song from the band that I very much love, that very much shaped my youth. And that would be Black Number One from Typo Negative. And if you don't play this song during spooky season, then you've probably never heard it before, or you just hate everything that is creepy in Halloween. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's all
yeah.
you can say.
Yeah. Here we go. Black Number One by Typo Negative.
She's in love with herself. She likes the dark. And on her milk white neck, devil's mark. Now it's all hollow dear, the moon is full. But will she trick or treat? I bet she will. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's peak spooky season.
Yep. I Googled them because, you know, of course I heard of them. I couldn't remember any of their songs. They had a 20-year run from 1989 to 2010, and the only reason they broke up is their lead singer and bass player, Peter Steele, died of a heart attack at 48, and that was the end of the band, by the way. But yeah,
if you've ever seen pictures of him, he was like a literal giant. Dude was huge.
6'8".
Yeah, he was huge. And I think that part of the reason that he died from a heart attack at an early age, because if you've ever seen pictures of him, dude was fit as fuck. I think it was really because his body just could not process how giant he was.
It said it was brought on by aortic aneurysm, which is basically an aneurysm of the heart, and probably the same thing that Andre the Giant died from. You know, I mean, just your heart can't, you know, sustain that mass. And
Exactly. And I was always so sad. One of the weirdest things that I found out about Peter Steele was actually that while he was still alive, he was featured in a Jerry Springer Show episode.
Huh.
Not as himself, like, you know, Peter Steele, the lead singer of Typo Negative. No, he was just in the show as one of the characters. And it's hilarious to see him in it. You should definitely Google/YouTube at some time. because that's a little known fact about them.
Oh, cool.
But I think yeah, it's UTC, and I cannot wait to hear what you've got coming for us.
Ah, okay, well, we played Screamin' Jay Hawkins to begin with, the godfather and grandfather of shock rock, and he was a huge influence on Alice Cooper. And the song we're going to hear tonight is off Alice Cooper's 19th studio album, Hey Stupid, 1991. Joe Satriani and Steve Vai actually played guitars on this track, and Motley Crue's Nikki Sixx was the bass player. But this song actually debuted during a movie production. It wasn't even out on an album yet. 2 weeks before Alice Cooper was about to shoot his scene for Wayne's World, he informed the directors that he wasn't going to use Schools Out as planned, but instead wanted to play a new song, which is this one, Feed My Frankenstein by Alice Cooper.
Nice.
And here we go, Feed My Frankenstein by Alice Cooper.
Yes, I know you're hungry. Ah, and here comes dinner.
Feed my
Yeah.
nice.
That is nice. It really feels like we've all been on the same wavelength as far as music this evening, because it all seems to fit together so far.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, you have to include Alice Cooper in any kind of Halloween thing, definitely. But there we go. I mean, like, he was influenced by Screamin' Jay Hawkins, and, you know, and I'm going to have more with people who were influenced by Alice Cooper. So keep it rolling.
Well, you know, we were all on the same page until now. Because I'm going to switch
Charles
it up a little bit.
Muck it up. You're going to muck it up.
And
what the fuck are you
going to
do,
just
Carl?
Just a little different. Just a little different.
Right.
This is scary, too, but it's a different style. And, of course, I have to go with Jethro Tull. Huge Jethro Tull fan. And this one is off their Heavy Horses album. And it's called No Lullaby.
We'll be right back.
About that was written for his newborn child.
Oh, beautiful.
Yep.
I was thinking, you know,
that
heavy
was written for his kid.
I was thinking Heavy Horses is one of my favorite Jethro Tull albums, but then I started thinking of other Jethro Tull albums, and they're all my favorites. But I mentioned this before about seeing Jethro Tull in 1978 in McNichols Arena in Denver, and that was actually the year this album came out. So obviously I saw the Heavy Horses tour. I love the song One Brown Mouse off there. But anyway,
I love that song.
Yep, excellent. Excellent choice.
Thank you. I'm very happy with
okay.
that one.
Okay, so I think it's your
turn,
Ms. Rachel.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that since Carl just went, it's going to be my turn now. And I'm going to be doing one that is actually a true story based on historical happenings, as it were. And I will not be doing the original version that was done in like 1931 or something. I'm going to be doing the cover version of it by the
Stanley Brothers.
Yes, Stanley Brothers. so the song actually has a couple of different names. Originally, it was called The Ballad of Charlie Lawson. And I believe that when these guys do it, it is the tale of the Lawson family.
Mm-hmm.
or the story of the Lawson family.
Right, and here we go. The story of the Lawson family by the Stanley Brothers.
This is a true story that happened in the hills of western North Carolina in the year 1928. This tragedy occurred near the little town of Danbury in Stokes County in the state of North Carolina. It's absolutely true. This man murdered his family, his wife, and himself. His name was Charlie Lawson, and this song is entitled The Story of the Lawson Family.
They say he killed his wife at first. Nice.
Is that not the creepiest song? Like when you realize that you're slow dancing with your sweetie to it, and then suddenly you remember that it's a song about a man who killed his wife and sticks out of his seven children on Christmas Day.
Yep. When I was searching through songs, I actually came across that song. Of course, the title intrigued me, and I looked it up. It's like, God damn, this is a true story.
Yeah.
So it was funny when you started playing that.
Fucking happens.
I know. Guy whacks his whole family. And who puts it on the air? Rachel. All right. Good job.
Oh,
good job.
God.
Like I said, I saw that
for
song.
The next song, but yeah.
I had to look it up. I saw that song and I had to look it up, and so and then you played it. It was great. I loved it. So I'm next.
Right. You are.
And I am going to continue with my little set list inspired by Screamin' Jay Hawkins and Alice Cooper. And in 1973, when David Byrne, we all know him from the Talking Heads, David Byrne was at the Rhode Island School of Design, and he was in a local band with Chris France, who was his drummer. And he ended up being a Talking Heads drummer, too. But David Byrne really wanted to write a song along the lines of Alice Cooper, who was quite popular at the time. And David Byrne, being a little freak he is, you know, he was into the shock rock. So he started writing Psycho Killer through the first verse. And you saw, you know, Chris France was helping him with it. And they consulted Chris France's girlfriend, who at the time, who could speak French. And they threw in some French lyrics in the bridge, you'll hear that. But she was also inspired by Norman Bates' character in Psycho. So there's some Alice Cooper, there's some Norman Bates in this. And it's off their 1977 debut album. It's Talking Heads with Psycho Killer. Probably the most well-known song I'm going to play.
You went for that one and you stole it from me, but I love you for it, which is why I figured out some different music to play tonight. But if TC had not played this, guys, rest assured, I would have.
I know.
And if those two hadn't played it, I would have. So, yeah, if this was on all our list.
I was going to offer up the song. I was going to offer up the song and find something else, but let's hear it.
Yes.
We all want to hear it then.
Yes, we
absolutely
do.
Absolutely. Here we go. Psycho Killer, Talking Heads.
Jessica says?
Thank you.
great song. Just a great song.
You know, one of the interesting things about that song was, weirdly, came out right at the time of the Son of Sam killings. So, you know, the band always insisted the song had no inspiration from any notorious event, but everybody, it kind of became a kind of a popular culture thing with Son of Sam killings and Psycho Killer and kind of all tied in together.
And I will say that, hey, if you guys weren't just having like a muted dance party to that song, then you're not in the spirit of spooky season yet. But it is actually the ending credits to one of my favorite movies, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, one of my favorite horror movies. If you watch the ending credits, like cut scenes at the end, well, I can't say anything about it, but they play that song and it completely changes the story. So I have always loved the Talking Heads. I have always just been a huge, huge, huge fan, and that is definitely one of the songs that gets me in the mood for Halloween.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess I'm going to go from here, and I started out with Atomic Rooster, and I talked about Vincent Crane. Vincent Crane also, before Atomic Rooster, was the pianist and organist for a gentleman by the name of Arthur Brown. Arthur Brown is my pick for going on with the Screaming Jay Hawkins flag. This is from the mid-60s. I think it's 1967. And it is Fire by Arthur Brown.
Classic.
You know this one. Wait a second. I'm going to have to talk about this here in a second because my internet seems to have gone out, which is a lovely thing.
Oh, no.
It happens. Hold on.
Yeah.
Just
and
a moment.
So sorry,
I will get this going.
Normally, I would be
on
the
podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but my internet's been going in and out lately. Okay, so I am now connected. And now
I would be on the backup to play the songs, but sorry, guys. I'm also having some connectivity issues. So.
Okay, so give me a second here, and I will be there. I apologize for this. It happens. But we'll get there momentarily. I can't believe that happened during the middle of the show. Shit.
It's okay.
Oh, well.
I mean, it's happening to me, too. Like I said, I'm having connectivity issues right now. It happens to the best of us. Do not even worry because, I mean, we've already played so much great music that we could just talk about that right now. Seriously.
Absolutely. Well, here we go. I'm going to try this again. Fire by Arthur Brown.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire. You know you've heard.
So Arthur Brown is still with us and was performing as of late as of 2015. And he would come out in this headdress with fire coming out of it. Awesome guy. Seriously.
I was thinking about in the 65, 66, that song came out, maybe 68. But
67,
the,
I think it was.
Yeah, all the collective tighty-whities worn by Southern Baptists freaking out when that song came out in the 60s. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Right up their butt crack.
Yes, they'd be soiling their underwear like crazy back then. You know, these are people who burned records by the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly. Here's something for you. Let's see if you know this. You know who that was produced by and who he was pushed by as an artist?
No, I don't.
Any ideas? Pete Townsend.
No. Oh, really?
Pete Townsend. Yeah. Pete Townsend discovered him and put him on Track Records, which was the subsidiary that they owned. And he hit in England, and then I forget, I think it was Amy Records, maybe I'm wrong there, that came out in the United States. But I think it came out in the U.S. in 68 and England in 67, if I'm not mistaken.
I did not know that. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So now we're going to pass it over to Rachel.
Yeah. I actually have two more choices for the evening, but I think to go with what we've been doing, just really weirdly creepy melodic music, I'm going to go by one of my favorite lesser-known artists. I did not find this song until I was looking for creepy music a while back, and he's one of my favorites because he sings this song called Chicago. Beautiful, wonderful. And this is a man by the name of Sif John Stevens. He sings a beautiful song from his album Illinois, N-O-I-S-C. I didn't say it wrong, I promise. And he had this whole thing where he was going to do an album for every one of the 50 states. But one of the only ones that he completed was the Illinois album. And noting that John Wayne Gacy Jr. is from Illinois, he wrote a song about him. And it is one of the creepiest, weirdest, almost a love song to a horrible motherfucker songs I've ever heard. Let's do John Wayne Gacy Jr. by Sif John Stevens.
And here we go.
Dressed up like a clown.
Creepy.
Yeah, you know, when I was researching songs, I saw that title, John Wayne Gacy Jr. I thought, nah, that's got to be too fucking creepy. And Rachel played it, and she confirmed what I was thinking.
I fucking went there. I went there.
Absolutely. You went down the rabbit hole and took a left.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're trying to do tonight, and I think I've maybe done that a few times this evening. Story of the Lawson family and John Wayne Gacy Jr.
Yeah.
And thank God that my last song that we're gonna play tonight is not bad, but like, let's see what you got, TC.
Did that artist have an album called Wisconsin? For Jeffrey Dahmer, should.
I don't actually know. I literally
That would
my have been favorite
good...
song from the album was Chicago, which I've played for Carl before, and it's just like this beautiful, beautiful orchestral choral piece that he does. It's amazing. I did not even realize that was on the same album until I was looking for some more creepy music, and I was like, oh my god, I love this guy. Wait, this is on the album? Because it's actually hard to find his album, Illinois. And that's when I was, you know, a number of years ago, I was looking up that he was originally trying to do an album for every one of the 50 states while he was on some sort of like D-Van road trip or something. But obviously, he only got like two or three states in, and that project died. But the Illinois album is one of the best, just most, I don't know, mood music albums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a
like
mood song.
Yeah.
By the way,
okay,
the two of you should be very, very happy that I did not pick the song by Randy Newman about the killer in Germany that the movie M is based on. So I didn't go
right
there.
Huh.
I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, my God.
Well,
if you had put me under the Randy Newman song, I would have punched you in your face.
Yeah, but John Wayne Gacy kind of threw out all the rules right there. So, but
there you go.
Okay, I'm next. All right.
Yes,
this
you
is
are.
My fourth. This is my fourth song on my mini set list, inspired by Screamin' Jay Hawkins and Alice Cooper. And we all know Rob Zombie, and we know him for his horror movies. I mean, a lot of people know him probably more for his movies than they do for his music. House of a Thousand
Not
Corpses.
Not people on this show, but yeah.
I know, Devil's Reject. But he actually, let's see... His movies are really an extension of his music, as you know. And, you know, he was with White Zombie and everything. His first solo single release was called Handle of Death in 1996, and it was written by, and he performed it with, Alice Cooper. There's my Alice Cooper tie-in. So the song tonight we're going to hear was off his first solo album, Hellbelly Deluxe, released in 1998. And Carl, we're going to hear Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie.
Absolutely. And she's going to go, ah! Okay, just needed to say that.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
I mean, how is that not one of the best, like anything off of that original Zombie album, how is that not the best Halloween shit ever?
Oh, absolutely. How could you not have a Halloween with Alice Cooper or Rob Zombie? So that's
absolutely
why I included both and where that rolled along, so... That was another one, Rachel, that I thought I might have stole from you.
No, I actually intentionally did not do that one. So I'm glad that you did, because people need to hear it if they haven't, so.
Yep. And if they have, they needed to hear it again. Because I hadn't really listened to it for like 10 years, you know. So glad to play it.
You know, that's one of the nice things about these shows is that you reintroduce music to yourself that you've listened to when you were a kid or that sort of thing.
And absolutely.
That's what's going to happen with my next one. Now, everyone thinks of Seattle as the hub of grunge in the 90s. But before grunge, in the 60s, there was such a thing as called garage rock. And one of the best garage rock groups of the 60s were the Sonics. Now, they weren't from Seattle. They were actually from Olympia. But it's close enough for me. And we're going to give you, oh, yeah, absolute friggin' awesome band. And they're still playing to this day. They're old guys now, of course. But we're going to give you The Witch by the Sonics. And here you go. And I love this tune.
Actually be my favorite one of the night so far.
Oh, it's great. Carl, yeah, follow me on this one, okay? Follow me on this one.
Okay.
What was the biggest subgenre of rock before the British invasion, would you say?
Doo-wop.
I'll help you out with this. Surf music. Surf rock.
Surf rock. I can see that.
Okay. What killed surf rock? The British invasion. I just got this vision that surf rock moved up the coast through the British invasion and became garage rock up in the Pacific Northwest. Can you hear that surf rock, like, cadence in there?
Yeah, a little bit. Garage rock was just, like, in your face. And it didn't matter where it was.
Absolutely.
The thing about garage rock, Seattle, Olympia, Washington State was a big hub, but there were other hubs too. Did you know Pittsburgh was a hub?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and so it didn't really matter where it was, but there were a number of groups that came out of the Seattle, Washington State, Olympia area, and the Sonics by far were the most famous of that group.
Remember, we had
the Amazon.
In Pittsburgh, the Gods, Iron City House Rockers. They all came up like late 60s, early 70s in that garage rock feel to it. But good pull, Carl.
And the biggest one was the Shadows of Night. Shadows of Night were from Pittsburgh.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, so anyway, we're going over to Rachel, and I think, Rachel, isn't this your last song?
This is my last song because, you know, typically I try to pick shorter stuff, but tonight my songs were longer. In fact, a few of the songs that I picked were, I had to find really short versions of them because a lot of them were like 10 to 12 minutes long. Because, you know, if you want to get into spooky season, you really got to feel it. But this one is probably the most quintessential, maybe even the only one that anybody who's listening to the show right now might have actually heard already, at least as far as my picks. And my last pick of the night is going to be Red Right Hand by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
That's the one I listened to this week.
Yeah, and you didn't pick it because you took my Talking Heads for me. So I took Nick Cave.
I took Cave. Oh, yeah. Great choice.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks. And here we go. Red Right Hand by Nick Cave.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track. Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand. Wrap you in his arms, tell you that you've been a good boy. He'll rekindle all the dreams that took you a lifetime to destroy. He'll reach deep into the hole, heal your shrinking soul, but there won't be a single thing that you can do. He's a god, he's a man, he's a ghost, he's a guru. They're whispering his name through this disappearing land, but hidden in his coat is a red right hand. You don't know no money, get you some. You don't have no car, get you one. You don't have no self-respect, you feel like an insect. Well, don't you worry, buddy, cause here he comes through the ghettos and the barrio and the barry and the slum. His shadow is cast wherever he stands, stacks of green paper in his red right hand. Thank you.
penis catastrophic plan designed and directed by his red right hand.
Disagree right there. The late 60s, early 70s were some of the greatest times for creepy music.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And, yeah, like I said, I looked at that song and I thought, boy, what a great tune, and I'm glad you played it. I really am. It was.
I'm glad you played what you did.
Nick Cave is just out there. You know, and it's, there's so many different songs like that, and that's not his only spooky type song. So, you know, you could do a whole show on Nick Cave.
Just out of curiosity, can you tell me the movie? Can you tell me the movie that he debuted in and his band? Can you tell me the movie?
No.
Wings of Desire by Vim Vendors.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, nice. By the way, TC, hold on, guys. TC, just so you know, we're going to give you the next two songs, okay? Because I'm gonna hold my song until if we go into overtime, okay?
Okay. Payback for getting screwed on the one hit wonders, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
There you
remember
go.
That? Remember how we got shut off and I had two more good ones?
Yes, we
up.
Did.
Okay.
So we want to make sure we hear your
that.
Stuff.
Okay.
Oh, we
then,
did. We love
let's, it. Go with, let's go with my fifth song of the night. And Rachel, you said that you're playing long songs, so you only played five. Well, I cut one out that definitely belonged on this show tonight, but it was 13 minutes long. And just by the title, I'm sure you'll agree that it would have belonged. Careful with that Axe, Eugene, by Pink Floyd.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Yeah.
Well, the band that
yeah.
I played earlier, Typo Negative, actually does
yeah.
a cover of that.
Really?
And it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
so,
what better Halloween song could there be? But it was 13 minutes long, so I didn't want to, you know, I'm going for quantity, not quality. I'm just kidding. I think everything so far has been good. But
it has
the song
been
that
so
I
quality.
The song I replaced it by with, I am surprised that Carl didn't jump all over it, because it is a song by the Kinks, who Carl and I both love. We both grew up with. It's off their sixth studio album, which was called The Kinks or the Village Green Preservation Society. It was 1968, and it was actually the last album that they made with the original lineup. And the cool thing about the song is the guy who writes and sings most of their songs, Ray Davies, he wrote it, but he let his brother Dave sing it, which was rare that he ever sang. The album was actually a flop. It didn't sell shit. Ray Davies.
But it's probably one of their top three albums.
Funny thing
is fantastic album.
Absolutely. And it's on the Rolling Stones top 500 albums at like number 384. So for an album that did not sell, you know, to be, you know, it's all its accolades came later, much later. When everybody pulled it out of their stacks to go, holy shit, this album was great. And a song we're going to hear
probably have
it
in my stack right now.
Possibly. Yeah, it's a weird title, too. I mean, the Kinks are the Village Green Preservation Society. But the song we're going to hear is called Wicked Annabella by the Kinks.
And here we go. One of my favorites off the album.
Thank you.
very a typical song for the Kinks.
That was
very
atypical.
Heaviest song they ever did.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, with Dave Davies singing it, you know, it just is a whole different line they went with. But I was just sitting there thinking about how cool everything's been intertwining tonight. You know, like Rachel played two songs that I looked at. We all like Psycho Killer. Carl, I played the Kinks for you. You know, I mean, it's just we're different in our musical taste, but we all seem to be coming together quite nicely tonight.
I was thinking that, and even though not all of us in the group are the biggest fans of Halloween and hashtag spooky season, I really feel like our music has intermeshed really well, and this is why you're like our permanent host on the show, Timothy. I don't know if you and I have officially talked about that, but I don't care what you have to say. You're officially our guest host on the show for always.
Well, if I have no choice, I guess okay.
You have no choice.
Jeez.
You're doing
okay.
The damn thing.
All right. Okay, all right. I'm on the show, goddammit. All right.
Fine. Fine.
Absolutely.
You and I have talked personally, and we have some very similar tastes in just weird, you know, old school music. So I have been loving what's been going on tonight, and I think that you actually maybe have a sixth selection for us. So
I do.
You might need
and
to blow my mind for this one.
You made a reference to somebody who's not really into Halloween. Well, that would be me, folks. But I'll tell you what, doing the research I've been doing for this show and for the next two shows, it's really gotten me back into not exactly the Halloween, you know, the name Halloween, the holiday Halloween, but the
hashtag
chakra.
Spooky season.
Yep, spooky season, shock rock, stuff like that that I'm you know, revisiting, and it's I'm having a ball with it. And I do want to thank both of you for having me on this show. It's been one of the happy moments I've had every other week, and I'm glad to be here. I plan on being here until you kick me off, so take that, people.
You're officially being invited or being invited on, so we can't kick you off anymore because now people know that you're our host. So.
Yeah, I got it on tape that you put me on here. So, all right, Carl, you mentioned swamp rock earlier, right? So I am going to end up with swamp rock, literally. And my last song is by Charlie Daniels, and it is off his 11th studio album, Full Moon. And the big song that came off that album was In America. You remember that one? The big, you know, go and lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, that song. But this album came out right after the, you know, the huge popularity of Devil Went Down to Georgia. So Charlie Daniels wanted to get something along the same vein. And his inspiration was Woolly Swamp, an actual place where he used to night hunt as a youngster. And he recalled at night that, you know, the swamps can take on a whole different personality. Spooky shit there. And Daniels actually said of Woolly Swamp. Yeah. He said it just, you know, his memories of Woolly Swamp as a kid, he said it just seemed like the kind of place a story like this could happen. And this is The Legend of Woolly Swamp by Charlie Daniels.
Here we go.
Things to crawl and things to fly and things to creep around on the ground. The old man didn't care about people anyway. All he cared about was his money. He'd stuff it all down into mason jars and he'd bury it all around. And on certain nights, if the moon was right, he'd dig it up out of the ground. He'd pour it all out on the floor of his shack and run his fingers through it. Yeah, Lucius Clay was a greedy old man.
But I couldn't believe it. I just had to find out for myself, and I couldn't conceive it. Papa never would listen to nobody else, and I couldn't believe it. I just had to find out for myself. There's some things in this world you just can't explain.
The cable boy and his white trash, he lived over on Carver's Creek. They were mean as a snake and sneaky as a cat and belligerent when they speak. One night the oldest brother said, y'all meet me in the woolly swamp later. We'll take over Lucius's money and we'll feed him to the alligators. They found the old man out in the back with a shovel in his hand. 13 rusty mason jars he just dug up out of the sand. And they all went crazy and they beat the old man and they picked him up off the ground. Threw him in the swamp and stood there and laughed as the black water sucked him out. Then they turned around and went back to the shack, picked up the money and ran. They hadn't gone nowhere when they realized they were running in quicksand. And they struggled and they screamed, but they couldn't get away. And just before they went under, they could hear that old man laughing in a voice as loud as thunder. It's been 50 years ago, and you can go by there yet. There's a spot in the yard in the back of that shack where the ground is always wet. And on certain nights, if the moon is right down by that dark footpath, you can hear three young men screaming. You can hear one old man laugh.
Nice, great fucking song. Seriously.
Cool story. Okay. Stay out of the swamp.
Absolutely.
Or else you're swamp.
Rachel,
or else
you
run into
song,
swamp thing. I did. I knew.
Yeah,
it.
I knew you did. Did you know that song, Rachel?
I actually did.
Oh,
and
cool.
I'm
okay.
Really surprised because I actually noticed while I was listening to the song that one of our dear friends posted it within the past, like, 3 minutes.
Ah.
So, yay!
Nice.
So, yeah, no, I know that, but I also live within a few blocks of a number of swamps, so... Yeah, we hear all that.
So I'm gonna interrupt here and just do a quick house cleaning. We're getting on to overtime. And if we go into overtime and they let us, I have another song to end it up. So one thing I do want to say is during the show I got a message from my former partner Stephen Ronquillo, and he's on his way to the hospital, so please keep him in your prayers. I'm going to try to call him afterwards, but he said not to, but keep him in your prayers. Now, as far as Deviant Legion is concerned, we have a show on Tuesday with Sam Irvin is the director of Elvira Haunted Hills, which is coming out in Blu-ray in a new 4K restoration. And, of course, that starred Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira, who just wrote a book and came out as part of the LGBTQ community. And I'm sure that will be part of the conversation because he knows Elvira quite well. And we're going to be doing that. On the 11th, we are partnering with XB Planis, which is John Killiams. And he and I are going to record a podcast on the recent Midnight Mass miniseries that was put out by Netflix. And we have much more coming over in October. So there you go. And we are counting into overtime. 3, 2, 1. We're in overtime and they didn't cut us off. Spooky season. So, you know why,
Carl?
We need to end up. Yo.
Carl, this is Elvira from Pittsburgh. I think Elvira's from Pittsburgh, actually.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I might Google that while you're doing your next song.
Okay, so, you know, here we go. We've done everything that we could except one group that has not been represented tonight, and we need to represent them.
And this is the number one song that everybody has requested for the show this evening. And I told them that we were trying to go for dives. So if we went into overtime, this was like your bonus treat for listening to the whole rest of the show. I know exactly where you're going, Carl. I think we're about to do Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath.
Well, I was going to say that. Actually, that's exactly where we're going.
Elvira grew up in Kansas. Sorry.
Okay. So Black Sabbath is not a group that I like. But having an older brother, I heard this, and I was basically a goth boy back then. And I freaking love this. This is the only Black Sabbath tune that I like. Seriously. I mean, War Pigs is fine, and Iron Man is fine, and they're good songs. But this is the one I really like. So this is Black Sabbath off their first album, which is, of course, called Black Sabbath, by Black Sabbath. Let me not say Black Sabbath again and just get to the song Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath, Black Sabbath, Black Sabbath.
And there we go. Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath.
And damn son.
Let me quickly read this to you that I Googled. Geezer Butler was the bass player, and he was obsessed by the occult. Painted his apartment matte black, had upside-down crucifixes, and Ozzy Osbourne gave Butler a black occult book written in Latin and decorated with numerous pictures of Satan. Butler read the book and then placed it on a shelf beside his bed before going to sleep. When he woke up, he claims he saw a large black figure standing at the end of his bed, staring at him. The figure vanished, and Butler ran to the shelf where he placed the book earlier, but the book was gone. Butler related the story to Ozzy Osbourne, who then wrote the lyrics to the song based on Butler's experience.
That's amazing.
Freaky.
Yeah, that's a little scary. Just a little.
Yep. You got one more, Carl, don't you?
No, that's it. That's all I got.
Rachel,
why don't you tell us what we're doing in 2 weeks?
Well, in 2 weeks, actually, even though I thought it was maybe next week, but maybe 2 weeks, we are going to continue with hashtag spooky season, and we're going to be doing our next iteration of October/Halloween songs, only this time it's going to be the novelty songs. So all the really fun, weird shit, not the stuff about people like murdering bitches and stuff.
Well, they could be fun murderers.
Well, yeah, no, I've got a few of those already. Like,
yeah.
I've already got novelty week, like, done, son. I will show you some of the funniest, weirdest, creepy songs you've ever heard in your life. Not just the most musically sound, but comedically sound, I guess it were. And I think that both Carl and TC are going to be joining me again for that. And what date did we decide on that, Carl?
Yes.
I said, what day did we decide on that? I don't know if we've actually...
We're doing it every 2 weeks. So this is the second. Then we have the 16th. And then we have Halloween Eve, the 30th. And I think for the 30th, weren't we going to do instrumental and soundtracks?
Well,
yes.
I had the instrumental idea different as separate, another show like November, but you said soundtracks, so that's what I thought we're going to go with.
Well, instrumental and soundtrack. Yeah, but there's also like classical music.
We'll talk about that after the show, guys, since we haven't already discussed this one all betwixt the three of us. Just know that the entire month of October is full of, again, hashtag spooky season. We're not only doing, you know, down the rabbit hole with our spooky, fun music. We're also doing a lot of commentary watches for, like, ISF, Incredibly Strange Films on Facebook. We're interviewing a lot of really cool, you know, directors and writers this next month. We are actually partnering up. We're partnering up with another couple of different podcasts, and at least for spooky season, we're going to be doing some stuff together with another one of our new members' podcasts. John Killian and
XB Planis.
Yeah,
John
you need to tell
XB
us
Planis.
About all that, Carl.
Well, as I said, we're going to be doing, he and I are teaming up on the 11th, and it'll be released sometime that week. We are doing a podcast on Midnight Mass, which is this a series that's on Netflix, and it is very, very much religious based, and it's creepy as hell, and it's absolutely fantastic series. And we're going to be doing that. We also, I've talked to John, and he's going to come over and do a couple commentary watches. We also have a couple people that are not set in stone yet, but I know that are going to be in October. One is Heath Lawrence. He's just an author, and he writes horror stories, and a number of his books are being reprinted. Plus, he has a new novel out. It'll be coming out in October, a horror novel. So we'll be talking to him and a very close friend of mine, a film director by the name of Scooter McRae, is his movie that he did in the 90s called Shattered Dead is getting a 4K release and was just announced. So we're going to have Scooter on sometime, probably during the last week of October. So, and we've got plenty of watches that we're going to do. I know we're going to do Wolfen. Pat Crane and I are going to probably do Blood Freak. So, I mean, and you had a couple you wanted to do. I know Mika was going to do Sleepwalkers, but we're not all set when we're going to do these yet, but they're all going to happen in October. So there you go.
Well,
all right.
There you go. October is going to be an amazing season for the Deviant Legion Network and for all of us, including the new networks that are joining us. And I am just so stoked that this is like the beginning of our time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we want to thank everyone. All right. You know, for listening and participating too, because everybody, and I didn't even mention Adam. Adam's going to be doing a show, a couple of shows on, and one in particular on David Cronenberg. So we've got lots and lots planned.
Absolutely. And I hope that you guys keep an ear and an eye out for what we're going to be doing in the future. It's going to be getting like exponentially better here in the next month or two. So just keep listening and liking for our content. And I think beyond that, unless anybody has something they want to play.
Did Carl just flush the toilet?
No.
It sounded like
Carl. Oh, I thought I heard that. Okay, anyways.
It sounded like wind. But, for anybody listening, I hope everybody has a great rest of your night / weekend,
right,
depending on what time it is for you. And
I'd like to add my shameless plug.
Do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
Yeah, I can't forget.
Oh, my God, yes.
My YouTube channel, and it's capital T, capital C, capital C, 77, TCC 77. I go to a lot of concerts. I bootleg shows. Songs. But since the last time we spoke, I saw Trombone Shorty in Orleans Avenue, Roxy and Theater here in Pittsburgh, and put 7 songs up that I shot from the front row of Trombone Shorty. So check it out.
I do need to say that TC has, like, the most amazing, like, he goes to so many shows, and he gets the most amazing videos, I think because you're a really tall dude. And you're usually like around the front row. So it helps. Like his videos on YouTube, PCC77, are friggin' amazing, especially if you want to go back to your reminiscent, like early 90s time.
If you want to see a band that's going to get your ass out of the seat and get you jumping around, it's Trombone Shorty in Orleans Avenue. Right from New Orleans, and Carl knows that music.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Why don't you lead us out, Miss Rachel?
Well,
thank you
I'll
very
see
much.
You two, son,
time,
in the next 2 weeks. I hope that you guys have a good rest of your time until we meet again. Happy trails and all that. And to everyone out there listening, thank you again. We love you. If you ever want to give us any questions or commentary, you can find any of us, Carl Kafer, maybe not T.C. Clark, but also Rachel Lane. You can find us on Facebook, and we also operate. Yeah, Deviant Legion Network. Occasionally, we operate under the Incredibly Strange Films tag, but we didn't talk about any films tonight. So, yeah, if you guys want to find us or talk to us, please feel free to do so. And until then, I hope everybody has a great rest of their spooky season.
Good night, everyone.
Absolutely.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night. Don't let the bed bugs bite.